Welcome to Horror Wars. I'm Amber Brooke, and you can follow me at amber.brooke32 on Instagram. First and foremost, not only is this show about putting OG horror films against their remakes, it's also, as you guessed it, a show about horror movies. With that in mind, please remember there will be some unsavory content discussed. That includes, but is not limited to, nudity, rape, torture, blood, viscera, carnage, violence, and the most controversial thing of all, spoilers. But seriously though, there could be anything in between you may get offended about. Just keep that in mind. And secondly, there's a lot of hard to pronounce names out there. Rob and Josh do their best, but they're not trained in how to correctly say all sorts of foreign names, so bear with them. Finally, if none of this bothers you, we've got nothing else to say. So get ready for a battle like no other. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Riffing on Horror Network.
Hello out there to all of our guys, gals, non-binary pals, spooky cuties, hair-raising homies, freaks, geeks, and anything in between with a butthole. I'm Rob.
I'm Josh.
And this is
Horror Wars
of Doom. We are the show that puts the original horror movies against their remakes in an all-out war to determine which will reign supreme. We do this with a series of scores that we give to one or the other to see who comes out on top. This week we have the Omen versus the Omen.
Not only that, but we also have multiple segments throughout the show as well. Horror News is where we discuss current events going on in the horror world and our little old company do.
Which we actually do have some news this week regarding us.
Really? So, Yeah. And Horror Club is where we review a horror film book club style and provide a bit of background before we give it a grading of pass, rent, or buy.
And the horror club this week is Orphan. So we are going with creepy kids as the theme.
Fuck them kids.
Fuck them kids. And then we get into our top five list of the week, which our top five is top five creepy kids in horror.
Shocker.
Talk some horror video games with the horrors of gaming. I forgot what our segment was called. Damn.
It's still pretty new.
It's still pretty new. Yeah. And this week we are doing a top 20 from IMDb, for top 20 video games with creepy kids.
Oh, yes, delish.
And it's done by IMDb ratings. So
didn't even know they reviewed games.
Yeah, so there's going to be a little bit of controversy, I think, with that list.
Yeah, a strong opinion on this one.
Yeah, definitely. And then we don't have anything with the people this week because, as you're going to hear in Horror News, lots is going on behind the scenes. So I didn't get the chance to even, like, promote the episode this week. So,
sheesh.
Yeah, and everybody knows that I'm usually really good with that, like, doing graphics and stuff. And I couldn't keep up with it this week. So why don't we go ahead and get into Horror News, and we'll be right back.
Bye.
And we are back. So we've only got a couple bits of horror news this week. I felt that both of them were pretty, you know, prevalent to the show and stuff that we would like to talk about. And then we're going to get into what's going on with Horror Wars and Horror Tube and, you know, a little bit of stuff. So with the two, I'm going to be doing the first one and Josh is going to be doing the second one. So Ghostface is appearing in a city near you.
You!
Ghostface is slowly making his way to New York City as he slashes his way across the country, at least according to various reports across the web. The Scream franchise's notorious killer has been spotted in several cities across America leading up to the release of Paramount Pictures' Scream 6 on March 10th. The slasher was seen staring directly into the camera of several prominent live feeds, including California and Colorado, not to mention in the middle of a blizzard in Arizona. Various news outlets caught wind of the eerie Ghostface sightings, with outlets including San Francisco Chronicle, the New York Post reporting on the sightings. Apparently, some people have been so freaked out that they've placed calls to 911 after spotting Ghostface in their town. Who knows where Ghostface will appear next, but one thing is for certain, he'll be in New York by next week when Scream 6 slashes in the theaters nationwide.
You are definitely hyped for that shit.
Bro, I am beyond fucking hyped for Scream 6. I am ready. Ready, willing, and able.
I feel like tears will be shed. I feel like you're going to be like one of the best.
I hope so, dude. Because like the way that everything has been hyped out about this movie, they didn't do anything like this with Scream 5. Like, I think with Scream 5, they knew that they had like a sleeper hit on their hands, but they didn't think that it was going to be something as awesome as this. Because they are going hard in the fucking paint on promoting for this movie, man. Like, they're releasing a new poster every other day. They're releasing new still images. They're releasing new fucking videos. They're releasing all sorts of shit, man. Like, every fucking day leading into the movie.
Definitely got to, you got to at least let me know if he's super brutal. Or whoever Ghostface is super brutal.
Right, because I'm trying to go see it on the 9th of March because Regal has a showing. I think it was, what, at 8:40?
Something like that.
I wanted Josh to go, but he unfortunately can't get off of work yet. So
no.
Bummer. But we do have the second bit of news that Josh is super hyped for.
Yes.
And it's going to be a future episode of Horror Wars.
So the Malum trailer dares you to take the last shift and prepare for hell. Directed by Anthony DiBlasi, Last Shift, Dread, and Extremity, and co-written by DiBlasi and Scott Poley, Last Shift, Missionary, Exhume, the same creative team behind 2014's Last Shift. Malum reimagines the original critically acclaimed horror hit. It expands the filmmaker's vision of nightmare-inducing terror, and judging by the trailer, massively expands the mythology. Thank God.
Yeah, absolutely.
The official plot, Malum, is a bold and expanded reimagining of the 2014 horror cult classic, Last Shift. Love it. On a search to uncover the mysterious circumstances surrounding her father's death, a newly appointed police officer, Jessica Lauren, is assigned to the Last Shift in a decommissioned police station where a notoriously vicious cult saw their demise years prior. Hey, compare me reading that shit to the last episode, my God, dude.
Hell yeah, bro. Fucking rocking it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, God, fuck.
You brought up Windows.
All right, go ahead. Excuse me. The lone officer at the station, she soon finds herself barraged by terrifying paranormal events, and in the process is taken on a journey during which she learns the shocking truth behind her family's entanglement with a demented cult leader. Malum takes the premise of the 2014 festival hit and flips it on its head, thrusting viewers into an unrelenting, adrenaline-fueled, bloody cult nightmare.
And also, I didn't include that it hits theaters on March 31st.
I am so happy
we gotta go see that.
Oh yeah,
we gotta go see that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would probably at that point like take whatever episode 41 was going to be and basically say fuck it and do Last Shift versus Malum.
I'll have to see like what day that falls in, because I think I might be able to for that.
Well,
maybe
we could probably do it on a Saturday.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
So like maybe if it works out the way that I think it's going to work out, we can go see the movie, and then it'll be the next week, and I think that'll be episode 42.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
Bad dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And also, just wanted to say that our horror news, as usual, comes from bloodydisgusting.com. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Now for next week. Unfortunately, there will not be a horror tube next week.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, well, because we're
moving.
Unless, of course, we get everything moved in and everything done, and we could maybe do the show on Sunday. That might be a possibility.
Hey, faster.
But right now, we're kind of looking at no
a week off. Tube.
Right. But I do want to say that the next episode of Horror Tube is going to be something pretty fun, because Josh came up with the last episode of Horror Tube and this one. But I wanted to ask you real quick why we were here. When you're talking about like horror soundtracks, are you saying
like it like could
music
be
for our horror soundtrack, like our perfect horror soundtrack? Yes.
Like if you could, and it can be with bands, or you can use the instrumentals from other movies if you wanted to, let's say.
Okay.
What would be your perfect soundtrack for a horror? And where would, and to extend our conversation, where would you place it? Like, let's say Corny Way, let's say In the End by Linkin Park. That's what you would want to use for your credit song.
Okay.
And anyway, you can use current artists, old artists, other soundtracks, anything. But if you could piece one perfect one, and let's say 10 tracks,
Can we do 13?
Okay, 13. We'll do special features. We'll do the deluxe editions.
Okay. Because, well, I mean, 13 just goes better with horror anyway.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, we'll do 13.
Because that sounds absolutely fucking fun. Like, because this brings out like the early 2000s DJ Rob, when he's making CDs to go smoke in the fucking Focal.
Yeah, me and Cody using LimeWire to
you
make
and Cody using Lime
10 Wire. Million fucking burnt CDs.
Me and fucking Chris downstairs in the basement fucking downloading on BearShare and shit.
A little bit of backstory. Rob and I technically would have known each other many, many eons ago because our best friends, well, his at the time, were brothers. But Rob and I did not meet each other until like 10 years later.
Which is absolutely fucking wild.
Which is weird as fuck.
Like,
we were in the same house.
In the same house at the same time, just on different levels of the house.
Yep.
Never interacted with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because Josh was over there a lot. I was over there a lot because Chris was my friend. Cody was Josh's friend, because Cody didn't really become like a friend of mine until he was a little bit older. You know, because he became like more
mature.
Yeah. You know, and I got away from Chris and shit, and you know, everything started there. And then there's the infamous Call of Duty meeting.
Let's not go into that. It's for another podcast.
That's for another podcast. But yeah, so Horror Tube is going to be absolutely wonderful. But episode 40 of Horror Wars will be fine because we'll be set up. Everything will be good.
Maybe at least a week later.
Will be happy. Yeah, the move will be great. Can't wait to move into where we're moving into. It's a beautiful fucking area. We kind of live in a shithole right now because we got royally fucked by our previous landlord. We were going to be rent to own, and that didn't work out. So, but luckily, it took a year and we bounced back.
Let's go, big dub.
Let's go. So. All right.
See you in the war.
We talk too much now. So, yeah, let's go ahead and get into the war. Also, that's going to be changing with episode 40 as well. Stay tuned for that.
It's time for stats, kills, phantasms, gore, and more. Let's get ready for the war.
Back with the actual war portion of the show. For those that may be unfamiliar with us, we, as we said in the beginning of the episode, we take two horror films, which is the original and the remake, pit them against each other. We have a series of 10 categories that we normally do. That is acting, directing, writing slash plot, killer or killers, casting, soundtrack, gore slash kills, pacing, time period, and environment. We also have nudity and porn as joke categories, but we will not be doing them today because, as we've previously stated in many episodes in the past, we do not do that when it comes to children. And there's your ASMR paper for the day.
You hear that? I'm reading my book.
I'm reading my book, going to the next page. So as we said earlier, it is The Omen versus The Omen. Neither Josh nor myself really want to do this episode. But because the original Omen is looked at so powerfully as a horror film classic, we had to do it eventually.
I found out that there are like 6 Omen films, and yes. I legitimately said why.
Yeah, why? And it's all political. Like, it's the most ridiculous.
Let's get into this.
Yeah, let's get into rant wars, as Josh said, while we were getting ready to record.
Okay, so the war. Movie name, The Omen. The runtime is 1 hour 51 minutes. The release date is June 25th, 1976.
And you feel every minute of that 1 hour and 51 minutes.
Both movies are insanely slow.
Oh, my God. Go ahead. Sorry, dude.
No, you're good.
That out there.
Produced by Harvey Bernhard. The production companies was Mace Neufeld Productions. The budget was $2.8 million, excuse me. And then the box office, it made $60.9 million. I'm genuinely surprised.
Yeah.
But it makes sense for the time.
Yeah,
exactly. So screenplay is by David Seltzer. Cool name. Directed by Richard Donner. Cinematography by Gilbert Taylor.
I actually know a David Seltzer, not the guy that did the screenplay here, but he's a fucking prick.
Nice.
Like, he's a fucking idiot prick, and I hate him.
Okay. Edited by Stuart Baird. Music by Jerry Goldsmith. Oh, that was the cast. I thought there was more. People who made it. Yeah, sorry, all the facts. So I just want to get through this bullshit.
Yeah.
Where to watch? Currently, you're able to watch The Omen in a dumpster. I don't know. You're currently streaming on DirecTV and Cinemax with subscription. It also is possible to rent or buy The Omen on Apple TV, Amazon Video, Google Play Movies, YouTube, Vudu, Microsoft Store, Redbox, DirecTV, and AMC On Demand as a download.
Which we have no idea why anybody would want to do that.
And please don't waste your money on subscribing. If the only reason you would subscribe to any of this shit is for The Omen, please don't. And just save your money, please.
And also, just to, as a FYI, pretty much every episode we try to let you know, as of this recording on March 4th, 2023, this is when...
Yeah,
this stuff is available. We make no guarantees that this is going to be available next year if you decide to finally find us or listen to us or whatever, or next month. As of our recording, this is where we get our information from. We get it from Just Watch. So if you are ever curious as to where things are, and if you need to do a subscription service, if you need to rent, if you need to do anything like that, go to justwatch.com and you'll be able to find all of your needs there. So go ahead. Sorry.
Just no, you're good.
Do our normal hit.
The ratings. 7.5 out of 10 on MVP. Yeah. Why? 84% on Rotten Tomatoes. Nope. And 81% on Just Watch. Yeah, you guys are on some shit.
On some Krizak.
Plot. Mysterious deaths surround an American ambassador. Could the child that he is raising actually be the Antichrist, the devil's own son? Yeah, they say in the first 5 minutes of the movie. Yep. Literally.
Pretty much.
Related media. Damien, Omen 2, 1978, Omen 3, The Final Conflict, 1981. How's it a final conflict when there's Omen 4, The Awakening, 1991, The Omen TV series, 1995, and Damien, the TV series, 2016. Didn't know that existed either.
Yep. And they're all poo-poo.
Trivia, 116 more on IMDb.
Why?
One, Harvey Stevens as Damien was largely chosen for this role for the way he attacked Richard Donner during auditions. Donner asked all the little boys to come at him as if they were attacking Catherine. Catherine Thorne, which during the wedding... during the wedding. Jesus,
yeah,
Jesus
Christ. As if they were attacking Catherine Thorne during the church wedding scene.
Yeah, that. Yes. Sorry, I'm just trying to speedrun this shit.
Yep.
Stevens screamed and clawed at Donner's face and kicked him in the groin during his act. Donner whipped the kid off and ordered the kid's blonde hair be dyed black and cast him as Damien. So he's such a little shit that he got the part.
Cool. Yep, pretty much.
Number two, the biggest problem with shooting with Miss Baylock's ominous dog was that the animal was nothing like the creature he was supposed to be portraying. He wanted to lick and play with his co-stars rather than threaten them. Aw.
Creepy.
I hope they were nice to the dog.
They better have been. It was the 70s, so, I mean, I don't know.
Number three, Jerry Goldsmith didn't want to attend Academy Awards that year since he had lost multiple times before and didn't want to go through the ordeal of losing again. Oh, poor baby. Director Richard Donner told him that he was going to win without a doubt. Smith was so nervous about the ceremony that he said he was smoking two cigarettes at a time. It was Goldsmith's only Oscar.
At least he got it.
Woo. For a big pile of steaming dog shit. Number four, because Harvey Stevens was so young, Richard Donner found that the best way to direct him was to provoke genuine reactions before the camera. For example, when Damien is angry at being taken to church, Donner got his peeved facial expression by shouting to Stevens off camera, "What are you looking at, you little bugger? I'll clobber you."
Try to do that in 2023.
Oh my god. What are you doing, you little bugger? I'll clobber you. Oh my god. Number five, we're not even have. Oh, okay.
You got this, man.
The producers and Richard Donner were debating whether or not to keep the Miss Baylock character, because while the rest of the movie was subtle enough to keep you guessing if it was really a demonic conspiracy or just a series of coincidences, Miss Baylock was so over-the-top evil, it was pretty clear she was straight from hell. This killed the ambiguity and suspense of the rest of the movie, but Donner loved Billy Whitelaw so much that in this role, he couldn't bear to see her go. Neat. There was no subtleness anyway, because he's been told he's the Antichrist within the first 15. Number six, the site used for the Megiddo archaeological dig is a real dig, not just in Megiddo. Where the fuck is this? Oh, never mind. It says it is located in the old city of Jerusalem on the southern end of the Temple Mount. Number seven. After location shooting in Israel, a private jet was hired to take Gregory Peck to America, but at the last moment he canceled and it was rented to five Japanese businessmen. The plane supposedly crashed, but this has never been verified.
Do you see, like, how hard it was for me to get facts for this movie that I had to include something that hadn't been verified?
Potentially someone's trying to kill his ass.
Right.
Number eight, Dick Van Dyke later said turning down this film was stupid.
Nah, you're good, bro.
Number nine, according to at least one biography of Gregory Peck, he took this role at a huge cut in salary, a mere 250 large, but was also guaranteed 10% of the film's box office gross. When it went on to gross more than $60 million in the U.S. alone, it became the highest performance of Peck's career. Well, I'm sorry.
Right.
Number 10. One of the reasons why Gregory Peck accepted the role of a tortured father conflicted with guilt was because he hadn't been around when his son Jonathan committed suicide in 1975. That's sad. So I feel bad for him.
Yep.
Shout out to that dude. Cast.
You're almost there, man. You got this.
Harvey Stevens as Damien. Gregory Peck as Robert Thorne. Lee Remick as Catherine Thorne. David Warner's Jennings?
As Jennings. As David Jennings. Warner as Jennings. Oh, okay. Sorry, I did this on my phone and it,
you're good.
Yeah.
Billy White calls Miss Baylock, Patrick Troughton as Father Brennan, and Martin Benson as Father Spiletto, Robert Wrighty as Monk, Tommy Duggan as Priest, John Stride as a Psychiatrist, Anthony Nicholas as Dr. Beck, Holly Palance as Nanny, Roy Boyd as, that's a cool name, as Reporter, Frida Dowley as Nun, Sheila Raynor as Miss Horton, Robert McLeod as Horton, Bruce Boa as Thorne's aide, Don Fellows as Thorne's second aide, Patrick Michelini as photographer, yeah, let's go with that, Dawn Perlman as chambermaid, Nancy Manningham as nurse, and Mickey Irva as first nun. Oh my god,
there's more.
Betty
shit,
McDowell sorry. As American secretary, Nicholas Campbell as marine, Burnell Tucker as Secret Serviceman. Ronald Leigh Hunt as man at rugby match.
Your favorite character.
Googly Lameau Spolatini. Wow, that is really Italian.
We're sorry, dude.
As Italian taxi driver, and Yakov Banai as Arab. Arab.
Racist.
Jesus, yeah, that's pretty fucking racist.
Fucking
Jesus.
Racist.
So yeah, that was the original Woo.
Josh definitely did not like the movie.
I didn't like either.
Didn't like either. They were pretty poo-poo.
I actually said while watching, I was like, this is so fucking boring.
Dude, I put off doing this episode for so long because I didn't want to do it. Like,
I watched one Wednesday, Thursday, and then yesterday I watched the remake. So
yeah, it's, oh God. All right, my turn.
Yeah, have fun.
Thanks.
Go Rotten Tomatoes. I just saw the ratings.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes. Go ahead. Both of them. Both Slay of them should be that. All right. Movie name. The Omen. Runtime. 1 hour and 50 minutes.
Yep, feel it.
Fortunately, 1 minute slow. 1 minute less than the original one, but Jesus fucking Christ, you still feel every fucking minute of it. Release date, June 6, 2006.
I do appreciate that it came out on 666.
Absolutely. Produced by Glenn Williams' son and John Moore. Production company was 20th Century Studios. Budget was $25 million USD. Box office was $120 million USD.
How?
Bro, people went wild for this fucking movie. It's because of the 666 thing. They thought it was going to be the greatest horror movie of all time.
Plus, people probably thought that the Antichrist was going to be born on that day. Right. Because, wow, the movie's coming out on that date and the 666.
Right. And also, it came out in the 30th anniversary year of the original. So, this movie had a lot going for it in way of media and all that shit. Yeah, I know, dude. Screenplay by David Seltzer.
No, not you talking. That's me watching the movie. Sorry.
Directed by John Moore. Cinematography by Jonathan Sela. Edited by Dan Zimmerman. And music by Marco Beltrami. Where to watch? Nowhere. That's where you should be watching it. Currently, you're able to watch The Omen streaming on DirecTV and Cinemax with subscription. It is also possible to rent or buy The Omen on Apple TV, Amazon Video, Google Play Movies, YouTube, Vudu, Microsoft Store, DirecTV, and AMC On Demand as a download. It's literally the same places that the original was available.
Yep, save your money.
Save your money. Just don't do it at all. Unless you already have their subscriptions, then
don't watch
then
the movie.
Don't watch the movie.
Just save yourself almost 2 hours.
The ratings for this are what the ratings should be, probably. No, just watch. It's way too high.
And way
IMDb
too high.
Should definitely be at like a 3.
I was going to say at least like 3.5 or something.
Yeah. 5.5 out of 10 on Imdb. 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. Good Woo. Job. Good mm-hmm. job, guys mm-hmm. and gals, non-binary pals. 63% at Just Watch.
Wow, that is really high for a shit movie.
Right. Plot. An American official realizes that his young son may literally be the devil incarnate.
Wait, okay. Wait a spoiler right there.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Related media. None, because this wasn't connected to the first series of films, and it didn't have anything else after.
Blah, blah.
Yep. Trivia. 26 more on IMDb. And trust me, these 10 were so fucking hard. I actually read through all 36 pieces of trivia, and they were horrible.
Great.
So, here we go. Number one, this movie was released to coincide with the date 666 in order to spark interest in game publicity, which Josh and I just talked about. Number two, the studio originally wanted this movie to receive a PG-13 rating. But producer and director John Moore insisted on an R rating, suggesting people would smell a cop-out if the remake of The Omen from 1976 was to receive a family-friendly certificate. Number three, the teaser trailer was actually Seamus Davy Fitzpatrick's screen test. Whoa. Number four, this movie was released on the 30th anniversary of the original. Number five, a curiosity here has Mia Farrow playing nanny to devil child Damien, when she'd previously played the mother of a devil child in Rosemary's Baby in 1968.
That movie's pretty good.
It's slow too, but
I like the concept a little more.
Yeah. Number six, you can hear the opening chant from The Exorcist in 1973 briefly in the scene where Robert Thorne, Liv Schreiber, and Catherine Jennings, David Thewlis, meet with Bugenhagen, Sir Michael Gambon. Number seven, the day after they filmed the scene where Robert cuts his son's hair to reveal the birthmark, the entire scene was completely destroyed. Number eight, Pierce Brosnan and Jim Carrey were considered for the role of Robert Thorne.
Look, I couldn't see Jim Carrey in that movie. That would just look fucking weird.
That would have been fucking stupid.
Hey there, guys. I'm the ambassador.
He was good in the number 23, though.
Oh, 100%.
And there was another one that he was good into, like dark Intentions or some shit. I don't remember.
But in number 23, he could fill the role of the psychotic you know, yeah, schizophrenic, yeah, definitely. Not just a regular, like, I'm part of the government.
Right. No, yay. Number 9, the telescope at the start of this movie is a double refractor by Zeiss at the Stefanik Observatory in Central Prague.
Wow, they let a piece of shit movie use a like a work of modern art be touched. Right. Gross.
Number 10, according to the newspaper account shown in this movie, Robert Thorne's middle name is Wade.
Oh, and wow.
He is a native of Connecticut.
Neat.
Yep.
What trivia, man?
Thanks. Liev Schreiber as Robert Thorne, Julia Stiles as Catherine Thorne, Mia Farrow as Mrs. Willa Baylock, Seamus Davy Fitzpatrick as Damien Thorne.
That is the most Irish name ever.
Yeah, my Love God. David Thewlis as Keith Jennings.
I would have said Thewlis too, honestly. That's what I was thinking.
Pete Postlethwaite. Postlethwaite, I'm sorry, dude. I'm not gonna try that. As Father Brennan,
also a cool name.
Yep, it's still a cool name, but yeah. Michael Gambon as Bugenhagen, Giovanni Lombardo Radice as Father Spoleto, and Peja Bjelak as Vatican Observatory priest.
It's like a Swedish Norse name or something.
Yeah. Harvey Spencer Stevens, who portrayed Damien in the original movie, made his final on-screen appearance in a cameo role as a reporter.
Ooh.
Okay, so
they're poop.
let's just kind of breeze through this real quick. For acting,
I give acting to remake. It's just a little bit more not hammy, but it's like by half a point. We have a point system.
Yeah, I gave the acting to the OG in this one because I kind of enjoyed the hamminess for such a fucking dumbass movie.
Okay, fair point.
The directing.
I gave to OG. I don't know.
It was a 50-50 no matter what on this one. Yeah. I gave it to remake because writing and plot.
They share the same plots of OG because it was the original idea.
I gave it to remake because I feel like it was executed better, even though it was the original idea from the original. Like, killer. I went with remake.
I went with OG just because at least the kid in the original kind of made himself seem a little bit less psychotic. When remake, he was just like, I'm gonna fucking kill you, bitch. Like, immediately. So
casting, I went with remake because it's like a fucking...
I went with remake as well.
It's a cast, man.
Yeah, like, it's a good cast.
Soundtrack, I went with remake.
I went with the original because I love the violins. And the Latin chanting.
Yeah.
Which also reminded me of like a Dark Souls soundtrack too. So okay. Right there, I was like...
Alright, yeah.
Because they don't have that chanting except that little scene we talked about in the trivia. Right. In the remake, so...
Gore and kills, I gave it to the OG because like I think that fucking scene with the cross coming down and just like fucking impaling the dude was absolutely wonderful.
See, remake, I went with remake for kills just because it looked better to me in remake, because in the original, when it shows him with the spike in him, it just looks like he just like leaned back against it. Like, it didn't even look like it went through him. Like, go back, like stop it on that, and it looks like he's just standing there.
Yeah, I gotcha. I got you.
I did think that the decapitation with the glass was hilarious in the original, though, because his head just rolls off. It doesn't even get cut.
It just rolls. Yeah. Pacing.
Oh my god. I
gave to remake.
Yeah, so did I. Because that's why I scribbled out the thing.
Yeah,
the remake.
But
because it's a minute shorter.
It's a minute shorter. Yeah, but they're the same. Time period, I gave it to the OG because I feel like they would be more superstitious back then.
Same.
And an environment, I actually gave it to the remake because it's a very politically charged world now, and I feel like that political movement in 2006 bred more for like a Satan mongering thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like in the 70s the political side was more Satan mongering.
See, the reason why I'm going reverse and I picked the original for environment is because I feel like the religious part was higher back then compared to the more political. Like, it's always been political no matter what. Sure. But back then, I feel like it was a lot more of the Antichrist world ending, yada, 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 before we had our 700 apocalypses we lived through.
Yeah, that we lived through, quote unquote.
So, yeah. They're both shit, though.
So, what was your scores?
7 OG 3 remake.
7 OG 3 remake.
Yep.
That's pretty fucking funny because I have 7 remake, 3 OG.
So we tied.
We tied 10-10.
That's a shame.
That is a fucking shame. Do we high five this tie?
Ooh.
That sounded more like us flopping our meat out on the table than anything else, but that's kind of what this movie does to us. It makes us feel like it's just a big floppy penis.
I just feel like they're both overrated. They're not that good. They're slow as shit. They were like, you could have been done with that movie. Like, credits could have rolled.
Yeah,
probably after the noose part, like a couple minutes after that, once it's like he's the Antichrist. Okay, boom, boom, mom gets hurt. He goes and discovers it, comes back, mom's dead. He goes to kill the kid, he gets shot, boom, the end. There you go. There, 40-minute movie.
Yeah, you could have done so much less with this movie than I really wish they would have. Both of them.
It's too long and too dragging when it should be short, and it's not short at all. It's just boring. Yeah. None of it's good. The characters suck. And you would think with a movie like that and him having like control over these dogs and shit, it'd be like a brutal ass movie. Most vanilla of shit. They're just not good.
I feel like they're placating to a specific market of people.
100%.
They're making that market of people like petrified.
And that's no disrespect to anyone else's views on these movies. If it's your favorite of all time, then that's fine. That's your opinion. Absolutely. But ours, at least for this episode, are pretty much the same, but they're both just poop.
And it happens. There's been plenty of episodes where both of us have disagreed with each other immensely. There's been episodes where we've agreed with each other to the point of this. Like, there's a class, like Suspiria. Neither of us fucking liked either Suspiria.
And people consider that like a top three.
Yeah, they're it's considered up there with this fucking movie, with The Omen and shit. So. Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, you take like the original House on Haunted Hill and we fucking loved it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's our personal preferences as always. So, yeah, if you guys don't agree with us, let us know.
Try to convince us on why you think it's that good.
HorrorWarsPodcast@gmail.com, or, you know, comment on any of the various groups on Facebook or pages or whatever, and we'll talk to you.
Huh.
So, do we want to try to do a combination, or do we just want to burn both of them and never talk about it again?
If we had to actually pick one, for me, I guess I would slightly go to the original.
Like the plot and time period of the original, like, with the cast of now.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Sure. There we go.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
How about we take some time to relax? Cozy up book club style for a few minutes and let's have a chat with the Horror Club.
And welcome back again. And now that we got away from The Omen versus The Omen and tied it at 10 each, we could talk about a much better movie.
I agree.
A much better movie.
So when I just looked at our list thing here and it says 2 hours and 3 minutes, that movie felt like 40.
Doesn't feel like it. Orphan and Orphan First Kill are both phenomenal films.
I have not seen the prequel yet.
First Kill's on Peacock, bro. Yeah,
I know it just dropped.
But. Yeah, like actually January. So it's been a few months now. It dropped.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. But the movie name is Orphan. Release date July 24th, 2009, one day before my birthday.
Nice.
Runtime 2 hours and 3 minutes. Budget $20 million. Box office $78.8 million.
Should have made more.
Production companies: Dark Castle Entertainment, Epayan Way Productions, Studio Babelberg, Motion Pictures. Oh, that's all one word. Studio Babelberg Motion Pictures. That's your company. Holy shit. And Studio Canal.
Man, that one company kind of sounded like the old school, like edgy bands where it's like their song titles are fucking
like they just throw a four sentences at the fucking board. Yeah. Now the producers for this movie, two of them really fucked me up here.
Yeah, it shocked me when I just read them.
Joel Silver, this dude does like action movies. He does all sorts of crazy like he's mainly known for like movies like Twister and stuff like that from like the 90s and early 2000s. This is not his style of movie at all. Then you got Susan Downey and a woman named Jennifer Davidson Killerin. But the big one here, and I don't remember anybody talking about this really, is the fact that like Leonardo DiCaprio was a producer on this fucking movie.
Didn't know that. I didn't even know he even touched horror besides Shutter Island.
Right. I did not know. I knew that he produced some movies, but I didn't know that he like produced a lot. And horror, like this is like a psychological horror. So I guess it kind of makes sense because Shutter Island was a psychological, you know, more than anything else. But still, the fact that Leonardo DiCaprio helped produce this movie is wild to me.
Mm-hmm.
Screenplay by David Leslie Johnson and directed by Wame Colette Sarah.
Nice. Good read.
Oh, wait, still have three more. Sorry. Yeah, I know. I was on the next one. Cinematography by Jeff Cutter, edited by Timothy Alverson, and music by John Ottman.
The Bloat. After losing their baby, a married couple adopt a 9-year-old Esther. Right?
Yeah, it's Esther.
I every time I see Esther spelled, I want to say Ether.
No, I feel that because of the H.
Sorry, let me reread that. My bad. After losing their baby, a married couple adopt 9-year-old Esther, who may not be as innocent as she seems. God, it's
creepy. I'll do the starring.
Creepy.
And then you can do the must read.
Okay.
Starring Vera Farmiga as Kate, Peter Sarsgaard, or Sarsgaard as John. I think that should be Sarsgaard, but I'm not quite sure. Isabel Furman as Esther, C.C. Pounder as Sister Abigail, Jimmy Bennett as Daniel, Ariana Engineer as Max. That's a cool fucking name. Margot Martindale as Dr. Browning. Carol Roden as Dr. Varva. Rosemary Dunsmore as Grandma Barbara. Janelle Williams as Sister Judith. Lori Ayers as Joyce. Brendan Wall as Detective. Jamie Young as Brenda.
Must read film fact. Isabel Furman developed an interest in knitting from watching Vera Farmiga pass time knitting projects during breaks in filming. Oh.
I thought it was cute.
It was cute.
Yeah. Vera Farmiga is still one of the hottest fucking women on the planet. Just wanted to add that in there. Now we have our talking points, which is going to help us determine whether this is a pass, rent, or buy.
Okay.
And we do that with things that you might seem familiar to you. We have 8 of the categories that we use for Horror Wars. That is acting, directing, writing/plot, killer, casting, soundtrack, gore/kills, and pacing. We feel that these are the better ones to get across our point of like the book club style, you know, because that's kind of what you do with a book club. So, all right. So for acting, how do you feel it was done in the movie?
So seeing the woman from the Conjuring, right? The Devil Made Me Do It and all that. One of my favorite series. Seeing her in that shocked me because I'm so used to seeing her in Conjuring. And that's like the only thing I've seen her in.
Really?
I didn't know she was in this movie. I've heard of this, but this is my first time actually watching it.
Oh. Okay.
So acting, I thought was great. The only one that I didn't like was the husband. I didn't like the acting of the husband because most of it was just him trying to fuck her or him not paying. I know the whole thing was basically them showing that he doesn't really care what she's going through because everything she said he pushed off. And the dream at the beginning where she's losing as she's losing the kid.
Yeah,
and it's just him holding the camcorder. Oh, that shit. Acting was great.
Yeah. I agree. I think the acting was really well done. I think Isabel Furman as Esther was phenomenal.
100%.
Like, she killed it. No pun intended. Intended. Fuck it. She does really fantastic in First Kill as well. So, yeah, I definitely love the acting in the movie. Vera Farmiga was really, really good in her role.
One of my favorite things about that movie, too, is the use of sign language. And yes. At one point, the youngest daughter takes off her hearing aid, and they actually make the movie silent. And yep. It's just nothing but sign language. So I really appreciate them using that and then them using it throughout the movie. So,
yep, it was really cool. The directing.
It was awesome.
Fantastic. I love a lot of the angles. I loved a lot of, you know, that of course comes with the cinematography.
Plus the plot progression was good. It was, yeah. Even though it's a 2-hour movie, the progression is
whip snap.
Perfect.
Yeah. Writing and plot.
It was good. It was a finally, technically a fresh take on a horror kind of thing. Deals with a genetic disease that you're born with.
Yep.
Spoiler alert for an old ass movie.
Old ass movie.
But I'm not even going to say anything, but it just deals with the genetic defect and all that kind of stuff. And it deals with people that are hearing impaired, all that. It's done really well.
Yep. That brings us to the killer.
Fantastic.
Yep.
A good change. The only thing, okay, fuck it. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
5 seconds. To. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The only thing that's funny to me is while she has a genetic defect and she's 33 and she's an adult, it's just funny that a grown ass man can't manhandle a woman who has the body of a child, who's
yep.
the same weight, height, all of it as a young kid. You know what yep. I mean? And he wasn't snuck attack. She just started going and stabbing him.
Yeah.
And they did a really good job of making me feel insanely uncomfortable when she started to, you know, sexually advance towards the dad. And I was like, ew, can we not do this?
Yeah. And she was like old enough in the actual movie. Like, I think she was like 19 or 20 in the movie or something.
She
like
was
that.
Actually 12.
In the movie?
She was a kid.
I thought she was like 26 mm-hmm. or 27 now.
No, she is now, but she's not. She doesn't have. She's not short or anything like that. She was just a kid.
Oh shit!
No.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yucko. I always thought that she was just like an adult that played a kid.
Nope, that's what they did for the prequel. I've heard.
Yeah, because they
recasted
same.
Her, but no, she was a kid.
Well, shit. Yuck.
Yeah.
Casting.
Really good.
Really good.
Besides the husband.
Besides the husband.
Yeah. Oh, Sister Abigail Race. Her actress, CCH Pounder. I didn't even know that was her name.
Yep.
I was like, why does she look so fucking familiar? She was on Sons of Anarchy. She was on a lot of shows.
She was on a lot of shows, dude.
But she was on Sons of Anarchy as like one of the DAs or whatever. So,
yep. Yeah. Yep. She was really wonderful in
Fantastic
this movie
actress.
As well. Yep. What is it? Soundtrack next?
Yep. It was pretty good.
Basic.
Very basic, yeah.
Very basic soundtrack.
The piano scenes were nice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's your typical shrieking violin shit. Also, yeah. I will be honest, they got me with really easy jump scares, but it's because they weren't your typical ones. Like when they first go to the orphanage and like the little kids run by the door behind him and he's like listening to her sing. That got me.
Right.
So I was like, oh, okay. Touche, motherfucker.
Right. Yeah, there was some good parts there. Gore and kills.
They're actually better than I thought they would be for this. Like, I skipped the pigeon. I can't watch animals die in anything.
Right.
When she was killing Sister Abigail with a fucking hammer, I was like, holy shit. The stabbing was a little, man, normal shit, but the hammer scene really got me. So it wasn't bad.
Right. I agree. I think that it was on par for this
mm-hmm.
stylized thriller, like Megan,
yep.
you know, stuff like that kind of like is pseudo horror.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we just talked about with Shutter Island and stuff like that. They're really deep thrillers that mask themselves as horror films. And I think for being in that genre, it does well.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Pacing.
It was good. Again, it didn't feel like 2 hours.
No, did not feel like a 2-hour and 3-minute film.
I genuinely thought it was like four. I thought it was actually 55 minutes.
Yeah, it was quick.
Like the time just flew with that movie and it was great.
Yeah, it was. It had just enough plot progression and things happening during that plot progression mm-hmm. that made you interested.
And I think I don't remember if we talked about this on HorrorTube or other episodes, but I would definitely put this in that league of a good introduction horror. I think we did for Hide and Seek.
Yeah,
this is another film that you could show someone that's new to the horror franchise or the world, and that would help because it's smooth. It's not over the top gore, but it can be brutal.
Right.
Yeah. So it's good. Yeah.
It gives you that nice little palate cleanser.
Yeah.
You know. When you want to say pass, run, or buy?
Oh, if you had to, I would say buy it. But if you can only run it, you got to at least see it. You
definitely got to see this one, yeah. 1,000%. Do not see The Omen or The Omen. Orphan.
Yeah, definitely watch Orphan. It's good.
Do not waste your money on either Omens.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. So definitely check out this movie and First Kill, because I think both of them are actually on Peacock.
Nice.
My gag.
What the fuck?
Everyone loves the top five. What will Rob and Josh be counting down this week? Find out as they discuss The List.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about our top five in here. Uh-oh. That's all I had.
SpaghettiOs.
Okay, so this week, keeping with the theme of the rest of the episode, we are going to be doing our top five creepy kids in horror.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for movies that are probably 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 years old. Maybe. All right, so what is your...
I actually have an honorable mention, my friend.
You have a fucking honorable mention? Yes. I do not have an honorable mention for this episode. Wow. I am shooketh.
It's one specific creepy kid.
Okay.
And it is the girl who was poisoned in The Sixth Sense. Oh. The one who her mom was, like, giving her poison shit to keep her sick.
Ooh.
That's like one of... Yeah, that's definitely an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking... Yeah, that's good. I like that. I like that honorable mention.
Thank you.
So let's start with our top five. As usual, we're going to go down from five to one.
Mm-hmm.
So my top five is The Exorcist, 1973.
Oh, yes. Throwing up on someone's balls.
Yep. I'm starting it off with The fucking Exorcist. So it's all downhill from here.
My number five is All of the Children from Children of the Corn.
Yep. I can agree with that.
Could you imagine being like stuck on becoming a human scarecrow for some fucking little kids?
Yeah, fuck all that. The one who walks among the stalks, you can suck my ass in hell.
From the back,
baby girl. As Josh would normally say. Number four, Poltergeist from 1982.
Which we've covered in the archives. Good choice.
They're here.
My number four is Lily and Victoria from Mama.
Ooh.
When they're crawling around like little spiders and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie was fucking wild. Number three, Hereditary.
Oh, good one. Talking about Charlie?
Charlie, yes.
Fantastic film.
Fantastic.
We've discussed that plenty of times.
Yeah, plenty of times. In
top tens for both of us, I think.
Yeah, and all sorts of shit. So what's your number? You number three, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
It would be The Children from Sinister.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Another one we've talked about and is in top tens.
Ooh. Yeah, that's fucking creepy. My number two is Alice from Alice, Sweet Alice in 1976.
That one I have not seen.
Really? It's Brooke Shields' first movie.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yep.
Number two? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shit. You're number two.
My number two is Brandon from Brightburn.
Okay. I like that because it's just on that border.
It's a horror superhero film, in my opinion. Yeah. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
An evil Superman kid. So I'm going to say definitely see that shit.
Yep. I agree. I agree with Brightburn being a definitely see. And my number one is The Bad Seed, 1956, Rhoda Penmark.
Nope, never seen that one either.
She is a horrible human being, and she's
like IRL or in movie?
In movie. She's, okay, she's like the original horror girl.
Nice.
Like, yeah, it's, so I kind of had to give her her place right there. What's your number one?
My number one is the Red Queen from Resident Evil.
Ooh.
The little hologram who's like, you're all going to die down here.
No, I like that. I like our list this week,
dude. Oh, yeah, definitely different.
Definitely a top five. Definitely different. We definitely, I'm glad, I'm always glad that we keep, like, our lists secret until, you know,
and their time. And it's very rare for ours to ever match, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's super rare. So, boom.
Yeah, top five.
Top five.
GG's.
Oh, God, I forgot that we have to press off. Right, bye. And we're back with the final segment of this episode, and it is the horrors of gaming. As I said earlier, I didn't get the chance to put any promotional shit out for this episode. Everything's been super fast-paced in my life right now. So, like, as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to go pack. So
yeah. I'm going to finger my pussy.
He's going to finger his pussy. So as we said earlier, we decided, well, I mean, I decided, like, earlier today because I was really struggling to think of something for the horrors of gaming. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to actually have an ending today because, like, we didn't do anything for promotion or anything. So I decided, as we said earlier, to look up, like, people's top 10 or top 20 creepy kids in video game list. So Josh just, like, did this weird fucking look at me thing. But I went with IMDb because normally you don't hear of somebody like IMDb doing anything for video games or anything. So it struck me as weird. But basically, it's done by the ranking of the users. It's user-generated ranking.
Okay.
So for IMDb, this is their list.
Look, like, the boy you do it right there.
We're going to do number 20 to number one. Yes. Number 20 is Messiah from 2000 with a rank of 7.
Never heard of it.
Number 19 is The Binding of Isaac from 2011 with a rank of 7.2.
Low-key S-tier game. That game is insanely fun.
Do you think it belongs at number 19?
No, I believe it should be up in top 10.
Ooh. Number 18, Clock Tower from 1995, 7.6.
I can see it.
Okay.
I've seen speedruns of that. It's not a bad game, but it's one of those multiple ending ones, like old school. It's like when they were trying to make computer games onto console where you could kind of move like a cursor with the,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those kind of ones. So, yeah, I'd say 15 to 18 for that.
Okay. Number 17 is Fear Extraction Point, which
that
is the,
be.
Yeah, it's the sequel to the original Fear. This is from 2006 with 7.7.
Okay. Yeah, the sequel. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
You think that,
yeah.
kind of belongs there?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Number 16, Rule of Rose from 2006.
Never heard of it.
Score of 8. PlayStation 2 game.
Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about it, but it looks cool. Number 15, The Suffering from 2004, 8.2.
Ooh, see, personally, no. Yeah, right at 15 is perfect in my opinion, because that game is actually scary as fuck. I rented that from Blockbuster.
Yep.
I played it for 5 minutes and it was too scary for me.
It's fucking
I played wild. It later, because that also has a sequel.
Yeah.
But it's really good. So yeah, I'd say 15 is the perfect spot for that.
Okay. Number 14, Little Nightmares from 2017 with an 8.2.
Personally, I would put it in top five, but that's because I love that fucking game. Yeah. And that also has a sequel. So for those out there who haven't played it, play the first one and the second one. Fantastic games.
When I saw this at number 14, I was like, ooh, Josh might have a...
I do have a... I mean, for me, it's way too high. Problem. I would say top 10, at least 11, right. But okay.
Number 13, Alice, The Madness Returns from 2011 with a score of 8.2.
I don't know that one.
It's actually pretty good. I think that the sequel kind of belongs a little bit lower, to be honest with you. If you're given what we know about what was left out of this list, I don't think that should be on this list.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay, but it's there. You know, we gotta accept it as it is. It does have an 8.2. Number 12, Fear, First Encounter, Assault, Recon, which its sequel was Extraction Point from 2006, which we just said. 2005 is the original one. 8.3 at number 12.
Yeah. Okay.
You see it just being right out of the top 10?
Because, like, this, it was definitely a lot more horror back then. Because the second one, I believe, is the one with co-op.
The second one was with co-op.
So and once you add co-op in the horror, it just takes the horror part out of it. So, yeah 12 is better because it's a single-player horror military-type game. I like it.
Okay. I don't know. I knew you weren't going to feel, I knew you were going to feel some kind of way about number 11. So number 11 is Limbo from 2010. It's got a score of 8.3.
Personally, that goes into my top 10, which I don't really see the horror. Okay. No, never mind. No, I see the horror. I get it now. Thinking about the ending. Right. I would put Limbo and Little Nightmares up in the top 10, but I can understand why people see, in my opinion, I would still put Little Nightmares, even if I kept them in this order and I was only moving like 11 to 20, I would flip Little Nightmares on Limbo. Cause even though Limbo came first, Little Nightmares is kind of the same thing, but better.
But better. Right. I've got mine in the vault. It's just a little bit better.
Oh God. But yeah, Little Nightmares is really good. It is on Xbox. So if you ever get a chance, I would say get it.
Number 10, Bioshock 2 from 2010 with a score of 8.3.
I personally don't like Bioshock, but it at 10 makes sense. Okay. That game is super fucking popular.
Now, I know you're going to be having fun with number 9 here.
I should go back up the list. Okay, so number 9 is Fatal Frame 3 of the Tormented 2005 with 8.4. We could take that, we could put that where Little Nightmares is and put Little Nightmares in at 9.
That'd be great.
Fatal Frame 3 is like me to me. First one was better.
Number 8, Alice from 2006, from 2000 with a score of 8.6.
Never
heard of that one, right? It's good. It's really good. I think it deserves to be in the top 20, but I don't think it deserves to be number 8. Number 7, Silent Hill 3 from 2003 with an 8.6.
I'm surprised it is not top 3.
Me too.
But I mean, yeah, that should be for how much like love that game gets. I know it's IMDb and it's for movies though, but I'm still surprised people still don't like it. Maybe it's because they're basing it so much off of the movie.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Now, here we go into number 6, Bully from 2006 with an 8.6.
The Rockstar game, Bully. Fuck is that horror?
I mean, for kids, that's definitely a horror.
Well, yeah, but. To me, when I played it, and I played it as a kid, I just thought it was like Grand Theft Auto, but for high school, for like boarding school. So I don't technically, like, I get you could say being bullied is hard, but he's technically not a bully, and he's not getting bullied. He's beating up bullies. He's a bully of a bully.
Right.
Yeah. Take that shit out of here.
I don't believe it should be in the list.
Yeah, we could definitely have pulled the Nightmares or literally Fear.
Especially knowing what we know about what was left off of this list.
Yes.
Definitely should not be on here. Number 5, Fatal Frame 2, Crimson Butterfly from 2003 with an 8.7.
Oh, fine. Sure.
You think better than 3. You think it belongs in the top 10?
I think Fatal Frame 1 should be in the top 10. I don't think 2 or 3 should, but I get why 2 is in 5. At 5. Excuse me.
Number 4, Silent Hill from 1999 with a score of 9.
Don't agree.
Don't agree with that either.
The first one is good. Don't get me wrong, but no.
It's clunky. No. It's got too many camera issues. It's got way too many problems.
That game is a meme.
It is. Number 3, Fallout 3 from 2008 with a 9.1.
As someone who has 100% of that game and played it so many times, I don't see that as hard. I know it's supposed to be post-apocalyptic, and I know there's... Yeah. You can get scared with shit attacking you, but it's not hard.
I don't disagree. I fully agree with you. I think that Fallout shouldn't be on the list.
Well, from seeing what's coming, where's my Resident Evil at?
Yeah.
No Resident Evil games?
Remember, it's creepy kids in the video games.
Well, okay, never mind, because they weren't. Alexis and Alexa were adults, and Salazar was there are no kids unless you want to count the weird version of No, because she wasn't creepy. Because Sherry from RE2 Remake doesn't turn into anything. So, yeah, yeah. Never mind. But see, yeah, no. See, now I get Fallout. I get it because in Fallout 3, you actually find in the caves a group of kids that are kind of like Children of the Corn.
Yeah.
And once you turn an adult, once you turn into a teenager, if you either are kicked out or you're killed.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, makes sense.
Okay.
I just remembered that. Wow.
Number two, BioShock from 2007 with 9.1.
Yeah. Because that's when you deal with what's his name, Big Daddy, and the little girl.
Big Daddy, and little girl, yeah.
In the second one, so yeah, I agree.
And number one, Silent Hill 2, 2001, 9.4.
What kids are creepy in that?
The little fucking girl that like guides you through the town, and like makes fun of you and does all sorts of weird shit in the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like kind of agree with this list.
When you look at the terms of what it is, creepy kids and video games, and it's from IMDb.
Yeah.
I
there are way better games with better creepy kids, in right. my opinion.
And there's one video game in particular that we both feel got the shaft.
And that is Five Nights at Freddy's. That whole franchise, because people don't realize that the animatronics are dead kids.
Yep.
Without going into too much detail, pretty much their souls are in these animatronics. Yeah.
So. And considering there's such a big fucking movie coming out later this year.
And it's a gigantic franchise for the past, like 10 years? 15 more. Years? Something like that?
How did this not get put on any kind of list?
That is insane, yeah.
Yeah. I do wonder, like, if IGN or something like that has, like, a better list. But I chose, like I said, IMDb because it's not something that you normally hear about. And it's one of those things where I was like, okay, this all kind of makes sense for creepy kids, but I think I would, like, move some things.
100%.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, another one that I brought up outside when we were kind of doing our warm-up, Emily Wants to Play is a PC game that deals with a creepy kid, Emily. Yep. So,
and it is, because as I was telling Josh out there, it is in the top 30, but I felt like going to 30 was like overboard.
Yeah, that would have been way too much, but still, yeah. It's crazy that isn't top 20, at least top 15,
right?
Because that at least spawned a sequel as well.
Yeah, yep. So there you go. And that's the episode for the day.
Real quick, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Resident Evil does have a creepy kid.
Okay.
Resident Evil Village. Have you ever heard of the Silent Hill House?
Oh, my God.
There is a gigantic fetus. It's creepy as shit that chases you through that bitch.
Chases you through the fucking...
Have you seen that section at least? Yeah. So, boom, right there. Resident Evil should be in that list.
Should be in the fucking list, bitches.
Village. Yeah, seven balls. Balls.
All right, so that's it for Horror Wars. This I was going to say Horror Tube. That's fucking ridiculous.
That's in four weeks.
No, three.
Three, yeah.
Okay, whatever. I mean, math. Who needs it, right? So we'll see you guys 2 and 2. Nothing's going to change for Horror Wars. Just going to be in a new location next time you hear us.
The change to the in-between sections? Are we announcing that?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
Well, you have to see in the next one then.
Yeah, we still got a couple more
for a banger.
For a banger. You want to talk about episode 40, considering we're not going to be able to.
Yeah, no horror tube. So, there,
I mean, there's like a 70% chance no horror tube this weekend. So, do we still want to say it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Episode 40 is going to be a fucking banger. Straight up. It's going to be fucking funny games versus funny games. And what's the horror club going to be that week, sir?
Strangers.
The Strangers.
Mm.
Episode 40 is going to rock your socks.
Horror Club's going to be the star of that one. But Funny horror Games club. Is okay.
Yeah, Funny Games is good. But yeah, The Strangers.
Oh, yeah.
Unrated.
I'm frothing right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely unrated.
Yeah, so we'll see you guys, gals, non-binary pals, and everything in between of a butthole. 2 and 2. We love you. Listen to the outro.
Love you.
Anything else?
I'm Josh.
I'm Rob.
Bye.
Bye. Horror Wars.
Mm.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? You good, Josh?
Yeah.
All right, so.
You just didn't restart.
Yeah, I just should restart it.
That's why I started laughing, because I was like, he forgot.
Conversation.
So it'd be like, so yeah,
a normal conversation.
Omen's a movie and stuff.
Omen's a movie and
we're
stuff.
We're here and sitting and talking.
And we're just talking. And we're vibing.
And I'm going to finger my pussy.
In your anal pubes?
Yeah.
Awesome.
My anus meat.
That's fantastic. I love that for you.
Please like us, follow us, and share us all over social media. We love you, and we'll see you next time. Oh, wait, before I go, if you have anything you'd like to say about the show, ask the guys, or just chat horror, touch base with them at their email, horrorwarspodcast@gmail.com, or hit them up on Instagram, horrorwarspodcast. Again, I'm Amber Brooke, and don't forget to follow me, too. Until next time, continue keeping it classy with a dash of slashy.